words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning, we're going to have a guest from the ancient past to talk with us for a few minutes.
Good morning. My name is Samuel. Some of you in this room are named for me, or maybe for someone who was named for me. And I have this fascinating name that comes from two Hebrew words, the word Shem, which means name, and the word El, which means God. And so my name is something like one over whom God's name was called. Kind of an odd name, don't you think? Well, there's a history to it. My mother, Hannah, was barren and could not have children. And in our culture, that was a source of deep shame. We did not understand the process of conception as you understand it, that the ovum came from the woman. We understood that the woman was simply a container, and the new life came from the man. So for her to be barren was to fail in one of her most basic responsibilities. And it was usually understood that God was punishing her for that by keeping her barren. Actually, my father Elkanah had two wives. Now, you don't do that, at least not at the same time in this culture. But I grew up in a patriarchal culture where women were not equal. And the other wife, Peninnah, had children. And she lorded it over my mother, Hannah, partly because she knew that my father really did love Hannah. And so my mother, in desperation, went to the tabernacle where Eli, the old priest, lived. And she was praying there. Eli saw her praying and thought she was drunk. But she told him, no, that she was there to pray and that she had taken a vow that if God would give her a child, she would give that child back to God to serve in the tabernacle. And it happened. She got pregnant with me. My father was delighted with that. He was a little bit ahead of his time because of his kindness toward my mother, even though she was barren. And when we had sacrificial meals, normally the women and children had to wait until the men ate, but he would have my mother and Peninnah and the children come in and eat with him at the table and with the men. Well, about the time you start your children in kindergarten, my mother kept her word. She took me to the tabernacle and gave me to Eli. She fulfilled her vow, hence my name. One over whom God's name is called. She called God's name over me and gave me to Eli. And the old man gave me a job. Even as a little boy, I had to sleep in the tabernacle every night and keep a lamp burning, the lamp of the presence that symbolized God's presence. And I noticed in your building you have one. Did you know that? In your chapel, there's a candle that burns all the time. And my understanding is that it symbolizes Christ's presence there in the bread and wine that's been saved from a previous Eucharist and kept in that little cabinet that you call an ombre. You got that idea for that lamp from me, by the way. Well, one night I was sleeping in the tabernacle, and I heard a voice, Samuel! Samuel! I woke up and thought Eli, the old man, was calling me. So I ran into his room and woke him up. And he said, no, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. So I went back to bed and I heard the voice again. Samuel! Samuel! So I ran back in and woke Eli up again. And he was getting a little irritated by this time. He said, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. And then it happened a third time. So I ran back in and Eli figured it out that God was speaking to me. And he said, go back and lie down and just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And that's what I did. I've never heard God's voice like that before. And that night, God called me to be a prophet. And I was maybe 8 or 9. Eventually, Eli died, and I took his place as the priest at the tabernacle and as the judge of the tribes. See, we weren't really a nation in those days. We were just a loose collection of tribes, a little bit like Native American tribes in this country that may rekindle to one another but aren't closely connected until they have a common enemy, and then they band together against a common enemy. And that's what we would do. And our common enemy was the Philistines. They were warriors who lived over on the coast, and they had chariots and iron weapons, and they had tactics that we couldn't contend with. So when they just felt like it, they'd raid our territory and rape and pillage and kill and burn and steal. And we couldn't do a whole lot about it, even if we got together as a group of 12 tribes and tried to fight. So the people, since the Philistines had a king, and the people got the idea that we should have a king, and that we'd have a central government, we'd be stronger, and we'd be able to fight off the Philistines. So they started pressuring me to anoint a king, because that was one of my jobs as the prophet. I anointed the king. Well, I wasn't too keen on the idea, because kings can be oppressive. So I resisted the idea, but finally I agreed, and God instructed me to anoint a man named Saul, who was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was tall and charismatic and good looking, and I liked him personally. And the Holy Spirit came on him when I anointed him with oil, and he became a powerful leader. Had some success against the Philistines, but he had a stubborn streak in him, and he was not very teachable. And eventually, after a series of failures, it became clear to me that he was not going to survive, and that God instructed me to tell him that the kingship was going to be taken from him and his children would not succeed him. Well, he wasn't too pleased with me about that. So we weren't getting along very well. And then I was instructed to go to Bethlehem, to the home of a man named Jesse, and to anoint one of his sons as king. I couldn't take Saul out of the kingship. I didn't have the power to do that, but I could anoint a successor. But I had to go through Saul's camp to get to Bethlehem, which was a little unnerving because he and I weren't getting along very well, and I sure didn't want him to know what I was up to. God instructed me, well, you're a priest and you do sacrifices. Take an animal with you, and if they stop you at the camp, tell them you're going to Bethlehem to do a sacrifice, which is what I did. When I got to Bethlehem, the elders of the city were wringing their hands because they were afraid I was going to bring conflict with Saul. And I assured them I was there to do sacrifice, which I did. I went to Jesse and asked him to gather his sons for sacrifice. And when they came in, they had to go through a certain ceremony. They had to take a bath and put on clean clothes. And we would offer parts of the animal as a burnt offering to God. And then we would eat some of the portions of the animal in a sacred meal. Before we sat down for the meal, I asked Jesse to introduce his sons to me. So the oldest son, Eliab, he introduced him, and I thought, what a handsome man. This must be the one. And then God said, no, it's not the one. You're looking at his outward appearance, but I look on the heart. Well, there were seven others, and they all came by, and it was obvious that none of them was to be anointed. And so I said, do you have any other children? He said, yeah, we've got a kid named David who's out taking care of the sheep. And I said, look, we're not going to sit down for the meal until he gets here. So they went and got him, and he came in. He was a handsome kid, ruddy face, beautiful eyes. And God's Spirit said, he's the one. And then I thought, well, now, he's really young. And you just told me that I'm not supposed to go by the outward appearance like I did with Saul. So I'm not sure about this. And then God asked me a question. How old were you when your mother gave you to Eli? And I said, 4. How old were you when I called you to be a prophet? And I said, about 9. And God said, he's older than that. What's wrong with this picture? Proceed. And so I anointed him with the oil from a ram's horn. The oil poured down over his face and his hair and down onto his clothes. And he kind of shuddered. And he told me later that he felt God's Spirit so powerfully that he shook. And your translation has came mightily on him. Something like rushed on him. And he went on to be a tremendous king, unified the nation, defeated the Philistines, and the country became larger than it ever had been under his leadership. Now, in our language, the word for anointed one is Mashiach, from which you get the word Messiah. And then every king was anointed with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit's anointing. And Jesus, your Savior, descended from David, and you know him as the Messiah, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit according to your Gospels and baptism. Now, I learned some things that day, and I got reminded of some things that day. And of all people, I should have known that just because someone is young, and just because someone may not be physically attractive, doesn't mean that God doesn't choose them to do something. God is at work in young children like me, and in young men like David, and young women, calling them even early in life to do what they're supposed to do. I got reminded of that. I also got reminded that we all have a calling. God called me as a prophet when I was a boy, and God calls every one of us to serve. I was serving in the tabernacle, but that wasn't everything. I was also called to serve in the world, just like David was, and we all are. We each have a calling. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us for whatever it is that God calls us to do. So we really, even if we're afraid, like I was that day, should not let our fear stop us from doing what we know we're called to do, because we'll have the power to do it. If you want to know more about my life, I would encourage you to read 1 Samuel. It's a great story and tells you a lot of the details about me. And if you're curious about David, you can read 2 Samuel. Well, I have to go now, and I wish you well. Amen.